Tune my heart to sing thy praise. Eh? That's what we just sung. Tune my heart. Ah, what a wonderful thing your heart is. Is enlargement of the heart dangerous? Sorry?
Physically it is, but not
physically. Ah, right. Good. That's the answer I wanted. Interesting, isn't it? Physically, enlargement of the heart is very dangerous. Maybe some of you have suffered that, have you? Is there anyone here who's got heart problems? Well, of course, you were rushed into, weren't you, Sioux Falls? And Tom had these stents put in, didn't you? You were. It's amazing, isn't it? Our heart. And it's so wonderful that our heart has power of all guys again. And you'll never forget that, you know. Oh dear. But it's so wonderful that in our hearts, in our hearts, our heart has such capacity for enlargement. You do know how faith increases, don't you? Use the measure you have. You do know how love increases. Use the measure you have. Love with what you have, and love shall increase in you. Believe with that belief. Oh, I believe. Help my unbelief. That's a man said that to Jesus. I believe. Help my unbelief. I know I've got some faith. But I know that I got a mass of unbelief. There's an angel. And I bet you put that there. And you know. Now, I said last something, you know. I've been involved especially with some very dear friends who are in a most awful, awful time. And, you know, sometimes I think they just don't understand what I'm saying. You know, your Bible says, underneath are the everlasting arms. Underneath. You think of some other friends, the lovely couple we love so much who lost their 12-year-old boy. I mentioned him. The tree fell on him. Sorrow upon sorrow. Yeah? But underneath are the everlasting arms, the place of comfort. Tragedy doesn't go away from our lives. Difficulties don't go away from our lives. Sometimes the inexplicable happenings come into our lives. Sometimes we are living with a contradiction in our household. You understand? You know, but always underneath are the everlasting arms. You must learn to go there. That's what I've been talking about all this conference. Unexpectedly, I came to this conference to speak on something else. That's what I came prepared and pondering other things, and then blame Paul and Tom that first evening. You see. And you know, true Christian ministry and preaching is like a river that's always flowing, and it's never the same water twice. It is, but it isn't. It is, but it isn't. You understand? And that's important. And remember, the whole purpose of this little conference, I believe, is for the Lord to say to you, remember, underneath are the everlasting arms. Learn to go there. Learn to live there. Learn to go down into the current. I don't know whether I mentioned to you that, you know, we are on the same latitude geographically to where you are, and we don't have these fierce winters like you do. You know, the freezing, you know, snow. Do you know, last year we live up a hill in a little community of about 12 households up a hill. And I'm used to driving in the snow because I've driven a lot in places like Poland in winter time. And of course we lived in Canada. And you know, they bury the water pipes about a foot deep where we live. And we had a bit of a bad winter. You know what happened? And the water froze. And we hadn't got any water. Our 12 households. I was the only one who was able to drive out. Nobody went out for 3 days except me. Down the hill. Very steep. Got a load of bottled water. So at least everybody had bottles of water. And why is it that we have such temperate climate? Though we're on the same latitude. Well, it's because of something that's called the jet streams up in the air. What's down? Down below in the Atlantic Ocean. Coming up from the Caribbean, the Gulf Stream. And it's underneath, and it's the current, and it affects the whole climate of Europe, especially the United Kingdom and France. And do you understand? And you must grasp that underneath are the currents of His love. Underneath, all the time, are the currents of His love. And you must learn to live underneath. And you must be like that bucket mentioned one day in one of the meetings. You must tip up from the surface, for the surface is transient. Even looking out on that lake, as I've been doing over these few days, calm as a mill pond, and then whipped up a bit, froth on it. Hazel said to me this morning, "Where does the froth come from?" I said, I suppose the wind has whipped it up in the night a bit and some waves and stuff like that. You know, I took, we have one of our friends from Cyprus staying last year, and I, you know, we have a little kind of tour we take visitors on, up onto the moors and down or different, and we go to a place that is right on the seashore, and he was absolutely fascinated because the sea was so wild. It was crashing. Yes, you enjoy it, Faith. And that particular place that the railway, the main railway line runs, very important. And sometimes it smashes everything apart so that they can't use the railway, and the railway lines are just suspended in the air and everything underneath has been smashed away. But he was fascinated. You see, the surface is transient, but underneath the current ever flows. Live there. That's what we've been talking about. Rest there. Amen. And is it there? Is it a there? No. Underneath are the everlasting arms. It's an anthropomorphism. And there's a nice word for you. It's an anthropomorphism. It's talking about God and Christ in human terms as though he's got arms. Helping us to understand. It's him. It's him. Underneath is him. Underneath is Christ. Go down into him. It won't take away the sorrow of my friends who've lost their boy. But it'll be such a comfort. And gradually, a source of perspective. A seeing. It's a place of hope. It's a place of faith. It's a place of love because it's him. It's him. Underneath everything is him, and blessed are those who by the ministry of the Holy Spirit, because that's where he always wants to take you. He wants to glorify Christ. He wants to take you into Christ. He wants to take you down into the depths. He wants to take you down into the mind of Christ and of God. He wants to take you down into the place of quietness. Find rest, my soul. In Christ alone. That's it. That's it. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do for you every day. Wants you to slow down. Wants you to take you down there in the midst of what's called mundane. And this is how the mundane becomes delivered of its mundanity. I tell you that. Nothing. In no moment needs to bore you ever. Every moment can be filled with God. Everything can be brought to meaningfulness. And it's a whole new birth, baptism in the Spirit, the whole wonderful activity of God in Christ Jesus is to bring you into the Holy of Holies of his heart. where all is well, and all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well. Hallelujah. This is God's love for you. This is God's love for me. This is where I came from. And you know, I began by talking about a couple that are dear friends that are in a terrible time, and I've been trying to talk to them hours, and I talked to them about finding Jesus there. Being still and knowing Him. And I don't think they've got the foggiest clue what this silly, bald-headed old friend is trying to say to them. I don't think they've got it still, because they're so intensely troubled by the pains of the waves of life that have been hitting them for so long. And they think it's irrelevant to go quiet. And I've said to them, stop reading your Bible. Get quiet. You see, that's a terrible thing to say. But sometimes the Bible gets in the way, because you go to the Bible looking for something. You don't need something. You don't need another word. You need His presence. You need to know that He is God. And when you go there and when you find Him, you sense that you're loved, but couldn't put it into words. And that all's going to be okay, but you couldn't put it into words. And when you meet Him, because it's all in Christ, and Christ is underneath. Jesus is underneath. Hallelujah. And I said to you last night that with crucifixion you can't crucify yourself. You can hang yourself. You can stick a shotgun in your mouth and blow your brains out. You can do this and that. You can slit your wrists, but you can't hang yourself on a cross. So, where's the cross? Where's your cross? Where's your death? Who crucified you? God crucified you when unwitting agents crucified His Son. And you were crucified with Christ. Amen. With Christ. You see, when you meet the real Christ, and this is one of the ways you know whether you know Him, is you know you're crucified. That's the end of you. You see, a moment going down into Christ and you'll stop your belly aching. Yes, you will. And you're complaining. And you're saying, it's His fault. He's been a beast. It's her fault. I'll tell you, a moment laying your breast on the Jesus that's underneath and being really with Him, you will know that you're the villain. The loved villain, the crucified villain, the villain that can be made new. Hallelujah, so that you don't go around blaming everybody else. Underneath is Him. And I was with Him. I was crucified with Him. You know this little word, with. Do you know, in the Bible, am I right in saying that Paul says, crucified with Him, raised with Him, seated with Him, with Him, with Him, with Him, with Him. Says it more than once, says it in Ephesians, says it in Colossians, with Him. You know, says it in Galatians, dear Paul giving his testimony. Isn't it wonderful? I have been and am crucified with Christ. He wasn't giving and spouting the latest thing he'd learned at college or some verse he'd read that morning. He just explaining his life. It's called testimony. He was giving his testimony to the Galatians. I've been crucified with Christ. It continues to affect me. I'm a dead man, but I'm alive. Yet not I, it's Christ who lives in me. That's what happens when you go deeper and where you go underneath and you find Him. Amen. You're with Him. That's where your life is hid. With Christ. In God. Everybody's busy trying to find their identity. What a lot of garbage. If you want to know, the word homosexual never existed in the English language until 1892. And it was not describing a so-called identity. It was describing, more mildly, an act called sodomy, which was bizarre sexual behavior. That's what it was. It was nothing to do with a homosexual identity. I met someone recently who told me rather proudly, oh, I'm pansexual. You know, that's my identity. Oh, don't talk a lot of garbage, dear. You know, it's because man will not accept that they are created being. And when God created you, He gave you your identity. And He renewed that identity when He sent Jesus, and Jesus died and rose again, and your identity is hid with Christ in God. Colossians 3. That's who you are. And if you want to become the real you, you better go down into Christ. That's where it's to be found. That's where it's to be found. Your true beinghood, your true femininity, your true masculinity, your true self, it's all hid with Christ in God. That's why you'll be a walking mask, or I'll be a walking mask, putting on another mask, trying this one, see if it fits. You know what I'm saying? You see, this is the wonder of Christ. Let's just read these scriptures because we're supposed to stop at noon. So let's read these wonderful things. Ephesians 2. And see, you know them so well. Oh, you. Verse 1, chapter 2. You who were dead. My version adds some words He made alive, but they're not there in the original. You who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. He's not underneath. But that's what we walked. He's up in the air. A spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. So you now know if you're one of those old disobedient ones and will persist in your disobedience. You know who you're letting work in you. You see, you don't need to. Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. I often have thought about that phrase, children of wrath. I recently read that book, Grapes of Wrath. What's it called? Southern Gothic. What's his name? I've forgotten the author. Steinbeck. That's right. Read it again. I just thought I'd read it again. I just sort of, you know, try and breathe the atmosphere when all the... you know, and the wrath. It's just waiting. This country, of course, is full of wrath. Isn't it? It's surfacing. But underneath it all is God. You can come there. Europe is full of wrath. Do you know? Do you know the people in the United Kingdom who are those most guilty of road rage? The police say. Young women drivers between the ages of 18 and 28. Road rage. The rage that is in the woman's heart because she's been so abused by the male. And we've got to get underneath all this stuff, my brother and sister, into Christ, into who we really are. Am I making sense? We've got to get down there into Him. That's why, dear Paul, he talks about all this and says these words. You probably know this isn't the only place in the Bible, in the New Testament, it says these two words, verse 4, first two words. But God. But God. Who is very angry. No. But God, who is rich in mercy. Because, why are you rich in mercy, oh God? Because of the great love wherewith He loved us. Love makes you merciful. We're not merciful enough to one another. But the more you love, the more you'll be merciful. What is it Jesus said? Blessed are the merciful for. How does it go on? They shall obtain mercy. Isn't it lovely? That's what's underneath. I want to tell you that. That's what's underneath in Christ, you see. Let's go down there. And you know, He won't stroke me with a nice sentimental Christian song. He'll bring me down into His heart and say, come on, Bernard, let me love you. Anyway, because of his love wherewith he loved us. Does it say that? No, it doesn't say that. It said because of his great love. His great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins. Wow, how can you see us, Lord? We were dead in trespasses and sins. Amazing. I mean, are you looking at one another? Are we beginning to really look at one another? I like that story of Jesus. And you know, when he went to the house of Simon the Pharisee to have a meal, do you remember that story? And this woman comes in and starts to weep and wash his feet and all that. You know, and everybody's looking and all Simon's thinking, and then Jesus knows what he's thinking, and Jesus does something. You can check me up on this. Because there he is, asks Simon, I've got something to say to you. And then, because Jesus would have to have done this, turned his back on Simon and looked at the woman, showed Simon his back and said, looking at the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? Do you see her? I love that. He puts the snob in his place, the religious, you know. Amen. Anyway, let's go on. We better read it and then I shall shut up. But he loved us even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. Raised us up together. Now, can you all see? Made us alive together with Christ. You see that? How many words? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Verse 6. Raised us up together. 4 words. Made us sit together. 4 words. Now, in the original language, those 6 words made us alive together with Christ. In the original language, it's one word. One word. And that one word, just like the other one, the 4 words, raised us up together, made us sit together, each of those words has what's called a suffix. And that suffix we use in English, sometimes symphony, sometimes it's S-Y-N, synchronized. And there's another one that's gone momentarily out of my head, where there's the same Greek suffix, together, 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 together. Together. That's why you've got to go down into Christ. I've got to go down into Christ. You see, you've been placed in Christ and you all believe that, but you've got to go down into him. And the Spirit's been given to you to take you down into him so that all the width that's taken place, you will be crucified with Christ, because you have been. It will come to you. You'll find that fiery anger dying out of you with Christ. Am I making sense? It's an atmosphere to breathe. It's a clear air to live in. It's a wondrous loving embrace to lie down in. It's a place of life in Christ, and you find yourself renewed, and you can rise up and go out and go on. And you don't have to go back to your sin and your misery. It's all in Him. Your life is hid with Christ in God. You know, you've been taken into God already. One of the problems with a lot of us evangelical people, you know, is we're positional. We believe it all as to position. The Holy Spirit doesn't want it all just to be objectively positional. Oh yeah, I believe that. I've been renewed. I'm this. The Holy Spirit wants to take you right down into Christ, into Him, into the realities of it. Amen. You know, I think of my friends where I started, and they think I'm almost irrelevant, telling them to be still and go down and know Him. What for? It won't change our circumstances. No, it'll change you. And then as it changes you, it gives God the possibility to change your circumstances. No guarantee that your marriage will come together again. No guarantee that whatever it is. But you will be changed. You say, tell me this in another word then, all right? I'll change the words. And we shall be changed from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord as we behold Him. We are changed into the same image. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Into the same image from glory to glory. You see, I want to tell you this. I go down into inside. And I see Jesus' face. You go down inside. He's there. He's underneath. He's underneath. His center is everywhere. Was that come through yesterday? And His edges are nowhere. And that's, I guess, what this conference has been all about. And I'll tell you something. I'll be prophetic, shall I? Everybody wants prophetic. Well, I'll tell you. This country's going down the tubes. Europe's going down the tubes. Moral corruption shall abound. The worship of material goods always leads in the end to bizarre sexuality. It's all going wrong. The church is blind in the main. Its leaders do not see as they should. The church is going to be oppressed. And in time persecuted. And some shall go down deep into the Lord, and they shall shine as jewels in the midst of it all, and they shall manifest His glory. Amen. And will I be among them? Will you be among them? I will prophesy this to you. The more you go down into him, you shall be changed. And you shall have righteousness. You shall be a right being. You won't be like an old friend of mine. I used to sit with him of a late afternoon. He'd sit and watch the TV, Fox News. And I'd sit with him, he's Mexican, he's still alive. And I would sit there just to befriend him and be with him. And he would gradually, it began to come out of his ears, the steam. And then it began to come out of his scalp, the steam. Because he was one of those dear Mexicans who was more American than the Americans. And was thoroughly Republican. And Fox News was helping him. And I used to say to him, is it really doing you any good? Is it doing you any good in your spirit? To keep watching all this stuff and listening to it. And he'd sort of almost say to me, get out of the room, will you, you stupid preacher. But you won't be like that. Because you go down deeper into Christ, who's King of all, and working out the counsels of his will. You must go down and live in him. That's what the conference has been all about. And so I will be again prophetic. Next week the Lord will remind you about this, and next year. And he will show you that you haven't done it enough. You haven't been quiet enough. And that's half your trouble. In fact, it's three quarters of it. And he will remind you, and you'll be a bit rebuked, and you'll do a little more of quietening your heart as you drive the tractor, as you go along the road, as you're handling the shrimps, or whatever it is, or developing the shrimps. Isn't it good what people do? Lovely. And he'll remind you, be still and know that I'm God. Lovely Lord. Oh, you've done more than we could ask or think. Dear Father, thank you. We thank you for this little weekend together. It's been... I'm so glad that you're underneath. So glad. We're so glad, Lord. You're underneath. Help us to go down to you and know that we're in Christ alone. Find rest, my soul, in Christ alone. Know his power. Wonderful. Thank you, Lord.